New Beginnings. I'm so glad that you're here. We welcome you in the name of Jesus. We bless the Lord. Greetings to all listening to us on podcast. We love you. We want you to come be with us anytime. And we'd love to have you here live in living color sometime. But we're so thankful you're listening, and I'm so glad for the hearts and the ears here today. And we love Jesus. We love him so much. And, you know, I'm just excited to share this with you. There's another part to this that's actually the best part that I'm going to save for a couple of weeks. And we've got a couple of our pastors will be speaking. Pastor James is speaking next Sunday, and then Pastor Tony speaking the next. And then we'll be back with you. And I'm enjoying the opportunity to get away with the beautiful blonde, go hide out in East Texas, and hug on her and hug on the Lord. We'll have a great time. And so I appreciate you so much. And I'm looking forward to hearing some great reports. So y'all be here live and living color, and let's do this together. Amen. Well, this is we're going to talk about the battle today. And I want to tell you, I know I don't like conflict. But I want to tell you something. I was raised by a warrior. My dad was a warrior. And football taught me a lot. And that when it, you know, you, and actually I passed on to my boys that, you know, you to handle yourself. And I want to share this with the teens, and we try to cover things in Proverbs, but Proverbs is so rich. But I just want to tell you, you know, you handle yourself as a gentleman or a lady. But if it ever comes time for conflict, you fight with everything that you got. And I wish it wasn't so. I wish I could protect you from battle or from conflict. But we live on a battleground. Earth at this point in time won't always be that way. 1,000-year reign, Jesus will be here in a very present way, very physical way. And 1,000-year reign, it'll be completely different. But I want to tell you, as of now, this is war ground. This is battleground. We live on a battleground. Now, we get to enjoy the journey, but we also must be aware. And the Bible says for us to be sober-minded. Sober-minded doesn't mean you know, to just not be drunk, but it does mean to be alert and to be aware. One of the greatest things that you can do for yourself physically is to be aware of your surroundings, okay? But I want to tell you, spiritually, that's an important thing. And we must be warriors. Now, you may, no matter what your age is, I tell you guys that you're a warrior for the Lord. And so it doesn't matter if you're a teenager or if you're adult or how many years you've been a Christian. I want to tell you, we're to be a warrior. And because the battle's on, okay? And so, but once you're born again, and this, when you receive Christ, when Christ comes into your life, I don't know if y'all can see this, but when Christ comes into your life, this is what happens. Jesus comes in here in your spirit. That's on the inside of you. And you become alive in your spirit. The old person's dead. The new person connected with Jesus is right here. And you know what your soul is. It's the mind, will, and emotions, the personality of you. And, of course, you know what your body is. But this is what becomes real. And but once you receive Christ, the rest of your life here on earth, there's battle going on. And the rest of your Christian walk here on earth is learning how to live out what Jesus presents as the Christian life. That's what the rest of our life's about, learning how to walk in the Spirit is a good Bible term to use. It's letting what God has done through you in your spirit in the new birth, how he changes you here, become changes in your soul and in your body even. And so it's letting what God's done through the new birth dominate you. Okay, more than what the physical or the emotional realm does. Now, I know it sounds simple, and it is simple, but it's not easy. Okay, it is battle. All right, this is kind of what it reminds me of. Now, pretty soon, hopefully, I'm telling you, the Lord's going to bless Papa T and Lovey over here, First Lady, with money to fix our pool. So that's coming. We're trusting God. Y'all, I bet y'all in on that prayer list. Yeah, y'all be praying. See, we got agreement going on here. But during the summer, as soon as it gets warm enough, because I don't have a heater in the pool, Man, we swim on Wednesday nights. And right now we're doing the table pool, you know. But we do the concrete pond during the summer. And we're looking forward to that. But they do, man, they're so much fun to watch. And they have so much fun in the concrete pond. And there's a little diving board. But one of the things that's tough about our pool, and it doesn't matter what time of year it is, you know what I'm going to say, it's kind of cool in that water. Because not only do I not have a heater in the pool, but we got these gigantic shade trees, these oak trees that cover the pond, so it doesn't get a lot of direct sunlight. And so even during the hottest part of the summer, which doesn't bother me, but you know, it's hard on people sometimes to get in the pool because the water's a little cool, and all the teens said. You remember that? Well, I want to tell you, part of my job as a coach and a pastor and a coach is to get them to do what they really don't want to do in order for them to enjoy what they really want to enjoy. And so part of my job every week is to say, get in the water. Just get in. And some of them get in the water a little bit. Oh, it's cold. I'm having a little trouble getting in. Do you not understand what I'm talking about? Karina, why don't you stand up? This little lady has been a champion about this. She's been an example to all of us because she has learned what I've tried to coach, and she's an example to the rest of you. You know what I'm going to say. She'll come out there, and she'll be the first one. She doesn't stick her toe in and talk about how cold it is. She walks right over to the diving board, goes off of it, boom, into the water. She comes out, and it's fine. Am I right? Have you seen her do it? Now, I want to tell you something. This has to do with the battle. Because one of the hardest things that you'll ever do is to learn how to turn from your natural self rule and let Christ dominate. But it is as true as just jumping off the diving board and just immersing yourself in submission to the Lord. And you know what? You'll find out the water's not just fine, it's fun. Do you see that? Well, I want to tell you, I'm going to be coaching you today. I'm pastor coach, and pastors direct you to do what you don't want to do sometime in order to be what God wants you to be. And all the people said, thank you for agreeing with me. That means I can hit it full speed. So, one of the keys is lordship. If you've been here a number of years, you've heard me teach it as lordship, a number of different terms we can use. Lordship, letting Jesus be Lord. And you submit and under authority of the Lord. This is part of why that scripture encourages you to train your young ones to submit to authority. We're covering that. That's all through Proverbs. But you submit to authority. I want to tell you, see, the same lesson, you submit to the Lord. Okay? And so it's not a foreign concept. All right? There's benefits. Thank God for parents that do that. But here we are. You know, it's the way it is with Jesus. I want to tell you, when it comes to battle time, and you're having a struggle on the inside, and there's a tug-of-war rope on the inside of you, I want to tell you one of the best things that you can do is yield to the Lord and surrender to the Lord. Okay? In spite of what your feelings or desires may be, one of the ways that we teach it is like this, is yielding. Okay, I want to tell you, Jesus yielded his throne in heaven to come be with us and to die on the cross so that we could be forgiven and have his life, not only in heaven, but here on earth. And so one of the best things that we can do to enjoy the life that he died to give is to do what he did and yield to him. It's the yielding. Now, I want to tell you, our culture teaches you to demand your rights. What are your rights? You know, you're right, everybody's wrong, and you deserve this, and you deserve that, and you ought to get this, and you demand. No. I want to tell you what Bible teaches, because it's opposite than the world, is to yield your rights. When you yield your rights to the Lord, then you allow the Lord to shine through. You allow the Lord to rule and reign, and that's a whole lot better life. It's a way to receive his life. But you got to see it first in the spirit by faith. This is why that I tell you every week. I give you scriptures every week. You have the scriptures every week in these sermons to meditate on and to think on. And I want to tell you, Pastor Don's class, they cover a lot of word. Why do we emphasize the word? Why don't we just have fun? Because I want to tell you, when you meditate on Jesus in the word, there's a transforming effect that takes place. It's something God does. Our part is to meditate on Him in the Word of God. And I want to tell you, then you see by faith, because faith's in the Word. And I covered this the Sunday before. You can go back and listen to it. But then you begin to see by faith what God wants. Okay? And because you can't rely and wait till you feel it in your emotions, or you can't wait till you see it in the physical, you got to see it by faith, by seeing in the Word of God and letting Jesus show you personally. And then you can do it, not by your own power, but by His power, because He helps you do it. It's all by Him. We're going to cover that in a little bit. But it comes down to this a lot of times in the Christian life. It's cold-blooded obedience. I term it that way because it's obeying the Lord. It's choosing Him over you. And you're doing that when you don't feel like it. Or even when your feelings and emotions and your body's working completely against what God wants, you choose to obey God anyway. Now, I'll tell you, that goes through the gate to victory. It's amazing how God will show up and show Himself mighty, because His words are spirit and life. And I want to tell you, His Spirit brings you into His life, and there's victory there that you can't get on your own. I don't care how strong your will is. Let's look at John 6:63. It's in your notes. I don't see any notes over here. Look up on one of the screens then. John 6:63. It is the Spirit who gives life. He's the life giver. Man, let's not forget that. The world claims life, but all they got to offer is death. They do offer fun. Okay? And the Bible's real clear. Even the pleasure of sin is but for a season. And so for us to sit here and say it's not fun, that wouldn't be true. But I want to tell you, it only lasts a little while, and then you wake up with chains on. So the flesh conveys no benefit whatever. There is no profit in it. You say, well, Brother Tim, you're being a little tough. No, this is what John said. This is the Bible. Okay, so you need to agree with the Bible. There's no profit in it. The words, the truth that I am speaking to you are spirit and life, and they still are. What John said right there in the Word of God is real in 2018. The Word of God is spirit and life to you. Now, you can try to listen to some music to emotionally help you, and you know, there's different kind of helps, but I want to tell you, spirit and life right there in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit gives you life through the Word of God. And so, when you look into God's Word, you're looking into a spiritual mirror. James 1:23-25 says this, "For if anyone only listens to the word without obeying it and being a doer of it, he's like a man who looks carefully at his own natural face in a mirror, for he thoughtfully observes himself, but then goes off and promptly forgets what he was like." Now, I want to tell you, that happens. And we ought to be able to understand this. We call it having a brain burp. Okay, well, I want to tell you, that happens spiritually. Okay, that happens spiritually to us. You can sit here on Sunday morning and you can say amen and agree, and the Spirit of God's witnessing to you. Oh, yeah, yeah, I believe that. Amen, amen, amen. And then Monday you can completely forget what you... If you don't make it a part of you. I found myself in the garage one day this week, and I could not remember why I was there. Kind of got aggravated at myself. What am I in here for? And so I went back and looked at my to-do list, which we got to go back and study and meditate on Jesus in the Word. Okay, not just glance at it, but look at it. And I looked at my next project, and then I used my gift of imagination about what all I needed to get this project done. And I went back into the garage and got what I needed to complete my purpose. Do you understand? Okay, this should not be foreign language to us. If the teens don't understand, give it about 40 more years. Okay. But he who looks carefully. Now that carefully is not a glance. Eating up that word. And I'm trying to get you to get in that word. Eat that word. Eat the word of God. He who looks carefully into the faultless law And the faultless law is not just, it's not talking about the 12 commandments. It's talking about the message of grace and the message of love, the law of liberty. Do you see that? And it's faithful to it. Now, when you're faithful to it, it means that you, Papa T needed to do this last week when he found himself in the garage, is take the list with him. Okay, do you understand? Okay, but it's faithful to it and perseveres in looking into it. Do you see perseveres? I don't have to explain that to you. This is the 13th sermon in this series. You know what perseveres means in this. Perseveres in looking into it, being not a heedless listener. This is my amen corner over here. You watch them. 1, 2, 3. Okay, see, they're getting better and better with that. But I want to tell you, if you just say amen and go home, okay, the Bible describes that you got shallow soil in the seed, and there's a way to celebrate it early. But then it doesn't have any life to you because there's no depth of soil. I'm telling you, a heedless listener is one who has shallow soil. The enemy comes. That's why conflict comes. You know, conflict comes into your life to steal the word. And so the enemy comes to steal that seed from you. Okay? And being not a heedless listener who forgets, but an active doer. Someone who takes it and puts it into practice. Wow. There's a lot there. And look at the benefit. He shall be blessed in his doing. His life of obedience. Because you know what? You start seeing the momentum and the benefit of walking in the love life of the Lord. There's benefits. There's so many benefits from being in His Word. You not only see Him in the Word, but you see Him in your life. Isn't that great? I know you want that, or you wouldn't be here this morning. But the only way to really know this, to prove it out, to live it out, to see it manifested, that it's true about you, is connecting with the Spirit in the Word of God, letting the Word of God, the Holy Spirit in the Word of God, make this real to you and you apply it. You must shift from walking by sight, physical sight, sense, your senses, knowledge, to walking by faith, where God gives you a picture of what He wants for you with your name on it, your face on it. It's revelation knowledge. It's what we call rhema, where the Logos becomes alive to you. That only happens when you meditate on God in the Word and the Holy Spirit makes it real. That has to happen for you. I can't give that to you. The Holy Spirit gives it to you, but He wants to. And He will if you'll give Him the opportunity. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith. We regulate our lives and conduct ourselves by our conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things with trust and holy fervor. This is the way we walk, not by sight or by appearance, but by faith. And our part is to renew our minds and use our chooser. Give allegiance to the Lord. It starts in your thought life by basing our thoughts and our actions and even our identity to who we are in Christ. That's why that what Pastor Tony's doing when he had us repeat the confessions of a new creation, that's not just something for us to rah-rah. This is something to invest in you. And if you only do it on Sunday, you're going to miss the opportunity there. And so that's something to make a part of your life. And be advised about this. The Bible, a lot of versions use the word contrary, that the flesh is contrary to your spirit. And what it really means is that they're enemies. This is what the battle is about. And it's in you. Okay, you're the battleground. Galatians 5:16-18. But I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled. Do you see the benefit of yielding and submitting to the Lord and also guided by the Spirit? You're in that Word. The Lord says He'll order your steps, that He will give you direction. That's His part. Wisdom comes from the Lord. Remember, wisdom, we seek, we find. He's not hiding treasure from you. He's hiding treasure for you. And when you seek, He reveals it. I'm telling you, this is God's kind of power in life. But I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit. Does that say just on Sunday? No, this habitually means as a way of life. You live as a way of life, submitting to the Lord, seeking Him and His Word, and He'll reveal to you direction, and He'll also minister His life to you. Wow, that speaks of victory. Then you will certainly not gratify. See, after you do this, you do the first part of verse 16 by receiving and being guided by the Lord and habitually receiving the life of the Lord. Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh. Okay, this is how to walk in victory. He's just told you how to do this, but it's got to be practiced. I can't practice it for you. This is something between you and the Lord. You've got to put into practice. For the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit. Do you see that opposed? You could just write in the word enemies. Okay? And the desires of the Spirit are opposed, opposite of, to the flesh. These are antagonistic. Well, there it is right there. Look at that. To each other. There's continually withstanding and in conflict with each other. So that you're not free, but are prevented from doing what you desire to do. Now, some Christians, because of the battle, quit. Okay? That's wrong mindset. I want to tell you, we got to get off the vacation mindset. Get off easy street mindset. And understand that we are living in a battlefield and you're the battleground. Yeah. And we got to understand that there is a continual battle going on right there in you, about you, between what the Spirit is doing and what the flesh is wanting to do. So, the Bible is saying that, if the desires of the flesh are battling the desires of the Spirit, and we're in conflict and in the tug of war, then we're not really free to do what we desire to do. This is assuming and believing, because you're saved, you're wanting the desires of the Lord. You're wanting to fulfill the desires of the Lord, and all the believers said, amen. Surely, amen. Well, you're not free if you're being overwhelmed by the battle. But what happens sometimes is this, is a lot of Christians, when it comes down to battle, it seems very personal. It is personal. The enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But the Lord has come to give you life, life more abundantly. But see, because of the battle, they said, well, it's just too much. I need to back off. If I back off, they believe the lie of the enemy will back off. Well, I want to tell you, he's not satisfied till you're bound. He's not satisfied till you're restricted. He's not satisfied till you're in chains, until he's in charge of this part of your life. And so there is great victory for you, but it's on the other side of the battle. It's not at the start, not at the middle. In other words, you got to persevere through it. But if you persevere through it, God's promised. And I want to tell you, he's not a liar. He's not a man. This is a promise. If you persevere through it, I want to tell you, there's victory for you. And so you're not, no one's able to say, well, Jesus didn't do it for me. Okay? Because his victory's there. His promise is there. And that's what he wants. I actually have had people tell me before, well, if it's not easy, it's not God. And I've had to tell them, I don't know where you got that. What comic book or whatever you got that. But you're wrong. Okay? And victory is worth fighting for. Now I want to tell you, the victory's been won, but we need to have it in hand. And in order for you to have it in hand, you've got to persevere through it. And the Lord has a way of helping you in so many ways through it. Matter of fact, you get on the other side of the battle and you look back, you'll say, wow, the Lord was there all the time helping me. He didn't leave me alone. He was with me all the time, and he's brought me into victory in this area. And I'll just give you a little heads up. You experienced victory in that area. Guess what? There's another area coming. Just to encourage you, there's more victory to be had. And the Lord seems to be so good to us by allowing us to work on one area at a time. Okay? But it's not just for you, it's for others. And all the saints said, it's not just for you, it's for the glory of God. He receives honor and glory. That should have been a big amen. Because that's really what it's about, to bring him honor and glory. But if you're guided, led by the Holy Spirit, you're not subject to the law. Now, don't get consumed about making a mistake. There's people that get absolutely so consumed because they feel like it's by their works. I want to tell you, the battle is not by your works. It's actually a spiritual battle with spiritual weapons against spiritual forces, but it has to do with your flesh. Your flesh is like the gateway or the path that the enemy takes to bring battle to you. Okay? And so this is why that one of the first areas of conflict is here in the mind. And it has to do with your flesh. And we need to battle there first. A lot of people want to, well, you know, yeah, okay, I'm practicing some things in my carnal, in the flesh that I shouldn't be practicing, but just cast something out of me. I've had them tell me before, just cast this off of me so I can get on with my life. Well, there's just more to it than that. Number one, I can't cast out flesh. Okay? I mean, we could shoot you and send you on to heaven, but we'd get in trouble for that. We can't cast out flesh, but flesh is one of the first gates, and it starts right here with the mind. And so this is why this is very, very important, but you're not subject to the law. And so this is what I'm saying to you. When we walk in the law of liberty, of grace, and his love, I want to tell you, you're so filled with what Christ has done, and you're so consumed by the love of Jesus that you're free not to respond to carnal. There's momentum there. There's authority there. There's peace there. And also, you're free to respond right. Now, there's a big difference between feeling like, oh, I'm afraid I'm going to mess up. I'm afraid I'm going to mess up. And you having the heartbeat and the attitude that I'm free to enjoy the right. Did you get that? Maybe I didn't cover that clear enough. But there's a big difference in that. Okay? But anyway, to go back to the battle, means contrary means to be opposed enemies or their adversaries. And this conflict between spirit and flesh, which is true for everyone. Let me tell you something. We got some godly guys here and godly ladies on this pastoral team. I want to tell you, I love them. I celebrate them. I salute them. I brag on them often. But I want to tell you, they go through this too. You're looking at somebody who fights this also. You don't ever get so spiritual that you don't fight the flesh because we wear it. I mean, we walk in this natural world. Okay, and so there's all kind of stuff there. But this is each and every day. Okay, but here's the question. Will you be dominated by your flesh or your spirit? See, this is why that we need some recognition. What am I battling here? Okay, the real you is right here in the spirit, what Jesus says about you. The other part is changing and will be changed. So flesh votes by what it can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. All right? This results in the area where the enemy has influence and his kingdom has influence. Because the enemy operates in the physical, okay, and in the emotional, spiritual realm like that, the unseen realm like that. The devil's flesh-oriented, I guess is one of the best ways I could say it. He works through the carnal, natural things. He tempts you not to believe God because he wants you to believe in the things that you can see and feel. See, that's part of his battle plan. He did that in the garden. He's still doing it. Okay, on the other hand, the Lord operates in the spirit realm. Okay, primarily through his word in your life. And due to this intense and continual inner conflict, you just can't do, it's wrong for you to do what the flesh says to do. Because you lose ground. And not only do you lose ground, but you give the enemy access to torment and harass your life. You don't want that. I don't want that. That's why that because of love, we choose Jesus. All right, to flesh out means to give up ground. And you allow the enemy to have access to your mind. You get it? All right, because see, the temptation comes. Well, it's Monday, and it's a long ways till Sunday, and I'll get everything right before Sunday, so I'll just flesh out today. I've had people tell me this. I know this is part of the reasoning that the enemy brings up. Just enjoy the flesh today. And besides, you know, I'm on vacation or I'm out of town, nobody will know. No, I want to tell you something. You give, not only do you lose ground, but you also give the enemy access to your mind. Anybody want that? So you don't want to invite the enemy or give him a license to come harass or disturb your life. When you say yes to flesh, there's a voice that you've been in the Word that's loud to you and amplified to you. But when you say yes to the flesh, this gets quieter. Okay? It gets quieter. Because we have selective hearing. And we hear what we want, what we choose. So I'm trying to help you with this. But I want to tell you what happens. That's why that the Lord has instilled repentance. Repentance is a restart on it. Okay? You feel yourself losing ground. You've given in to the flesh or whatever. Stop. Okay? You don't have to lose the day. You don't have to lose the week. You don't have to wait till communion next week or prayer next week or the preaching next week. I want to tell you something. Stop. And repent means to change direction. Okay? The blood of Jesus is applied because the blood of Jesus is continually flowing, continually releasing His power. And you know what? You get right back in line with the Spirit of God and you say yes to the Spirit of God and no to the flesh. Amen. Man, thank you, Lord. I'm so glad that's true. So who are you going to vote for with your chooser, your spirit or your flesh? I'm giving you a heads up. You cannot please God in your flesh. There's nothing spiritual about your flesh. It's why it's got to be dominated by the Spirit. And let me take a time out to declare this, because I think this is very, very important to people. You cannot fight flesh with just your will. There's people, there's humans walking around that have some strong wills. I've actually been impressed by some of them. It's quite amazing. But I want to tell you about the ones that I've ministered to that seem to have such a strong will. Got all their stuff in a row and all their I's dotted and T's crossed. I want to tell you, those tend to be the ones that have the most horrific secrets that you would never guess. Really brings to light what Jesus was saying. It's not the outside of the cup. It's the inside of the cup. Okay, it's what's on the inside. And so I'm just giving you a little heads up on that. But I want to tell you, if you try to accomplish spiritual victory with your will, I want to announce something to you. You're tired. You're wore out. You're defeated. You're miserable. And you're continually at the battle of just giving up. Because it's not by your will. Not by your power. It's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So we have to lean on, rely on, trust in the Spirit of God. Romans 8:8, let's go there. So then those who are living the life of the flesh, people that are catering or giving in to the appetites and impulses of their carnal part of them, the flesh part of them, cannot please or satisfy God or even be acceptable to Him. This will, if you're giving in to the flesh and yielding to the flesh, you will not walk in the cooperation of the life of the Spirit. It's the opposites. Okay? You're voting for spirit and for flesh and against spirit. And the opposite scripture of this says if you'll walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You see? Okay, I hope you do. It's impossible to do it by your will or in the flesh. The priority is to recognize and identify flesh and to deal with it. Okay, you got to recognize it and name it for what it is. You walk in love, walk in the love life of the Lord, and you practice being filled with the Spirit. Okay, and I'm so thankful that He says continue to be filled, because we need to continue to be filled. Okay, it's not that Jesus leaves our spirit. He's always there. But our responding to him in our soul is different at different times. And we need to practice getting our soul in agreement with our spirit and saying yes to the Spirit of God and allowing his fullness to manifest. You see that? Okay. So, it's true that if you are one of the believers that choose to just operate in the flesh and wait till you get to heaven to be changed, you're just going to operate in the flesh, then, there's all manners of death that comes into your life because you don't fight back. You don't want that. It's miserable. Okay? Romans 8, 12 and 13. So then, brethren and sistern, we are debtors. What do you mean I'm in debt? I'm in debt to the Lord for love. Okay, I'm not even to owe any man anything except for love, the love of God. And so he has so loved us, we're in debt to him for love. We are to love him back. But we're not in debt to the flesh. If you've received Christ, I don't care what the addiction is. I don't care what the problem is. I don't care what they call, what name they put on the harassment of your soul or physical body. I don't care what they call it. His name's above every name. And we're not indebted to the flesh. We're not obligated to the carnal. We say no to the flesh. We can say no. We're free to say no to the flesh because of grace, mercy, and love. But we're able to say no to the flesh. And sometimes there's a teaching out there where you just got to be strong and say no. I want to tell you the best way to say no to the flesh is to say yes to Jesus. Because it's by his Spirit. And so that's where the submission and the yielding to the Lord comes in, because then you've turned the valve on this and you're allowing the Spirit of the Lord to have impact on you. Okay? You've turned the valve. And so that's why it's important to do that. This is why the Word's important. You see, this is deeper than even a spiritual emotion. Okay? Spiritual emotions don't last, but His Word lasts. And even when you're not feeling anything, you can respond to the Lord. Okay, that's where maturity comes in. Okay, here it is. If you live according to the dictates of the flesh, you will surely die. There's death coming. Okay, in different mannerisms, different ways. I'll cover that in a second. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit, you are habitually putting to death, making extinct, and this is not by your will, it's by the power of the Spirit. You see the difference? This will make a difference with a lot of you about victory. Because you'll realize, I've been trying to do this on my own. And you know what? It's by leaning on the Lord and allowing the Spirit of God to do this. The evil deeds prompted by the body, you shall genuinely, really and genuinely live forever. The flow of life in your life is everlasting life, and you'll see it forever. Wow. So, if you've given the steering wheel over to a certain practice of sin, or a certain desire, certain habit, take the steering wheel back and invite the Lord to come and be your pilot, and you be the co-pilot. You say, well, this is talking about death. Does it mean death? Well, sin or flesh brings all forms of death. Attitudes and expressions. Well, let me cover this verse and I'll get to that. Romans 6, 23. For the wages which sin pays is death. Now, I know that we read this verse and we think about eternity, but I want you to read this verse and think about now life. Okay? Because this applies. The wages which sin pays is death, but the bountiful free gift of God is everlasting life, eternal life, through in union with Jesus Christ our Lord. And so, biblically speaking, any result of sin is a form of death. Here's some examples. And I may not name yours, but I'm trying to give you what death looks like. Depression, discouragement, anger, bitterness, fear, worry, sickness, poverty, loneliness. You want me to name some more? Those are all forms of death. That's not life. I mean, when you compare those to what the fruit of the Spirit brings, those are opposites. Hey, What Bible's told us today, those are enemies. Warring for you. Okay? If you live after the flesh, I want to just say it. Sickness comes and poverty comes. Depression comes, anger comes, all those things, you know. It's a form of death. Your flesh, this is what I'm trying to show you. Your flesh is Satan's inroad to bring death into your life. As a born-again believer, your flesh is made up of your soul and your physical. Okay, now before you received Christ, it also involved your human spirit. But when you receive Christ, Christ comes in. The old you dies, the new you's joined with Christ, and so that spirit is complete. Like I've tried to teach you, it's full of Jesus. But most Christians, and I'm not naming any names anywhere. I'm just saying that, and sometimes, you know, I've preached in all kind of denominations, all kind of churches. I'm thankful I have. Taught me a lot. But one of the things I noticed in different denominations and stuff, sometimes, Pastor James, they're saying the same thing, but they use different terminology. And if you don't use their terminology, they just assume you're wrong. Okay, so I'm trying to preface this. But there's a lot of Christians today believe that we have two natures. We, as Christians, we have the old nature and the new nature. We have the old flesh nature and we have the nature of Christ. But I want to tell you, I don't believe that's right. I believe that's wrong based on what we've been covering. Because your old man died, okay? Your old man died. Your new man is now who you are in the Spirit. What we're really dealing with, and this is the way I believe the Bible describes it, is that we're really dealing with the spirit versus flesh. Our goal is to show you that not only did Jesus pay the price for you to overcome your flesh, but he paid the price for you to do it. He'll help you accomplish it by his spirit. Your natural mind, see, we don't have two natures, but we do have two minds. This is simple. I don't get deep with it. This is simple. We don't have two natures. The Lord gave you his nature. All right? But we do have two minds. We do have the mind of Christ. That's part of the blessing. We got the mind of Christ, the mind of the Spirit. But we also have the soul mind. And so it's not two natures, it's two minds. Hey, your natural mind was programmed to act selfishly before you ever received the Lord. Really, you were born with that. Okay? Ephesians 2, 1 and 2. And you he made alive when you were dead, slain by your trespasses and sins, in which at one time you walked habitually. At one time, this is the way you lived. You were following the course and fashion of this world. You were under the sway of the tendency of this present age, following the prince of the power of the air. We know who that is. That's the enemy. You were obedient to and under the control of the demon spirit that still constantly works in the sons of disobedience, those that are walking in rebellion. Same thing. I got in trouble preaching at a teen camp one time, hundreds of teens there, and I shared with them, you're either a son or daughter of Jesus, of the Father, Heavenly Father, or you're a son and daughter of the enemy, of Satan. Man, I had some pastors get so mad. But really and truly, this is what it's saying. You're either of a son of disobedience, who's under the authority of the enemy, or you're a son or daughter of obedience under the authority of Jesus. Now, verse 5, I'm not going to go there, but you can look at it. Verse 5 talks about that we have the life of Christ in us, the resurrection life of Christ in us. Verse 6 talks about that we're seated with him in victory. It's an overcoming. And the reason for this is in verse 4, talks about the intense love that he has. That we are actually living demonstrations of his mercy and grace. You're a living demonstration. I want to tell you, if you ever see this picture of yourself, that you are a daughter of the living God, and you're actually a living demonstration to the whole world, heaven and earth. You're a living demonstration of his love, his mercy, his grace. I want to tell you, that's powerful. That's good. That'll do your heart good. And so even though your old man's dead, new man in Christ, your physical mind still functions like a computer under prior programming. Boy, you ought to understand that. That's why that the Bible says we got to reprogram this computer of our soul, renew the mind through the Word of God. And when we renew our mind to the Word of God, we're transformed. That's what Christ does. You have one nature, two minds, the mind of Christ in your spirit, the unrenewed mind in your flesh, and this is why we emphasize reprogramming or renewing our mind to agree with God. This is how we experience the life and power of God. So you see, that's why we put such emphasis there. Your physical mind is the valve who decides whether you'll be dominated by your spirit or your flesh. The will's important there. Because I want to tell you, you can make a decision out of your will that this is my way of life, and we need to do that. But at the same time, the opportunity comes every day for our mind of our soul to choose what we've committed to. I stood before a group of people and said, I do, to this beautiful blonde. But you know, there's opportunity, since I said I do, to continue to say I do to her only. Do you understand that? That's the way it's supposed to be with the Lord. We say I do when we receive Christ. But then every day, it's our precious privilege to love. We're living demonstrations of His love, and love response makes you want to love back. And so it's our love choice to love Him back. But unless we renew our mind, okay, your natural mind is an auto vote toward the senses. It'll automatically vote toward the flesh unless you renew your mind. It's got to be reprogrammed. Okay? So here's how we do that. Surrender to His Lordship. Okay? There's a big difference between Jesus being Lord of every part of my life and me being self-centered. Self-centered doesn't even think about others. Sure doesn't think about the Lord. It thinks about you. What you want. What's best for you. What's easiest for you. What you want everybody to do for you. I heard an example not too long ago. I can't even share it with you. But it goes something like this. That somebody was wanting something done for them by everybody else out. And my immediate thought was, that's very self-centered. You know, the love choice would be this. What can I do for someone else? There's a big difference in that. But what's in your heart? I want to tell you, if your life it's following your self-centered flesh, that's where you live. You think everybody owes you. Everybody ought to do something for you. Everybody make it happen for them. But I want to tell you, when you're walking in the love of Jesus and you know how celebrated you are and how loved you are, it's your joy and privilege to love Him back by loving on others. Hey, let's make someone else feel special. That's what love is. It's a good definition, Brother Tim. Thank you. So let's practice renewing our mind. So we surrender lordship to Jesus. We practice renewing our mind and meditating and just absolutely feasting on the Word. And then we practice it. We practice receiving His help. And I think this is a part where we fail in. Because the Lord says you call upon Him, He'll answer. You call upon the Lord. And you come to the place of help. He's given you a helper. You don't have to make it happen by yourself. It's not by your own strength. It's not by your will. It's by leaning and trusting in the Lord and by faith connecting to Him, to what He says about you, and letting the Lord do it in you. Wow. Repentance changes direction. And there's probably some folk here today that need to repent. You need to change direction. Okay? Well, let's make that happen. That's a decision in your heart. To say yes to the Lord and no to your flesh. Okay? Important. Important. Hey, maybe it's time for us to say enough is enough. I want to tell you, when the enemy delivers a blow to you, knocks you down, harasses and disturbs you, steals from you, it's high time to get the holy anger up. Okay? It's all right to fight back. I think you remember that I was telling a few years ago when the beautiful blonde and I were up in Estes Park, Colorado. Beautiful area, beautiful place. We saw two different signs that said, if you get attacked by a bear or a cougar, fight back. If you get attacked by a bear or a cougar, fight back. Well, I want to tell you, that sign wasn't for me. They come after me, they're going to get everything I got. And you know what? They may win, but it's going down with the battle. But I want to tell you what the Lord is saying. I have won the victory. I have the Holy Spirit here with you to help you with the victory. But there needs to be some holy backbone that'll raise up and believe God and agree with God and fight back. And not just take a swing to see if somebody fall down, but to continue to stand until the victory's won. Because you're worth the victory. Jesus paid for it. And he didn't leave you alone, so don't try to fight it by yourself, okay? He's given us a helper, the Holy Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, and he's promised victory. And so I think it's high time for people at New Beginnings Fellowship, for our church, for your family, for your loved ones, for yourself to say enough's enough, and let's be determined to fight back. We need to know who we are. There's a knowing part of this. We need to practice who we are. That's a doing part of this. Okay? I'm pretty convinced that the world's not going to listen to us talk about our church until they see Jesus being Jesus in our lives. I think they've heard talk. They've heard invitations. They even know how to respond. Oh, yeah, I'll be there. I'll be there. No. But I want to tell you, when they see Jesus, they'll come running. Let's let them see Jesus. Your family needs to see Jesus. Your teens need to see Jesus. The people that you know and love out in the world need to see Jesus. Jesus changes lives. Let's let him be a part of what he wants to do in our life. This is why I'm telling you, if you continue to see the gray pickup, then it means you're not following directions and you need to do something different. Pastor James and Gina, I think, were where? What city? In Conroe, Texas, and they were in a parking garage. And they were trying to get out. Am I right?
That's right.
Trying to leave. Some of you want out.
Yep.
And they circled and circled on one floor. And I don't know who recognized it. Gina or James recognized. You know, we've seen that gray pickup about three times. So, hey, hearken. If you continue to see the same gray pickup in your life time and time again, it means that you're not following directions. You're missing something somewhere, and you need to do something different. Don't just circle and wave at the gray pickup till Jesus comes. He left us with a better answer than that. And it's between you and him, but it's something for us to practice. You can know it, and you can do it when we rely and surrender and yield to him, and we put it into practice. That's God's way. And so this is for you. I want to ask you to stand. We've got people coming to help us pray. If you're here this morning, and you've seen the gray pickup a number of times, it's time for you to come pray. Hey, I want to tell you what doing something different is. It's repentance. It's Lord saying, Lord, I don't know what all's been up to, but this is wrong, and I choose you. When you get serious with the Lord, He'll reveal to you. And you know what? He may tell you to keep on keeping on and for you to persevere. A lot of times we don't know that our victory may be 24 hours away. I want to tell you, let's let God be God. If you're here this morning and you haven't received Christ, then the journey starts with Jesus and the journey ends with Jesus. But you got to start before you can receive all that He's got for you. And you know what? There is no victory outside of Jesus. I thank God for all kind of help programs and all that, but I want to tell you something. Jesus is the difference. Jesus changes lives. Humans help, but Jesus changes lives. And the power of Jesus is available for you. The power of the Holy Spirit is available to help you walk in His victory. That's His promise. He didn't leave us on our own. And so, you know what it's time to do? It may be time to repent. If you know of some kind of carnal, fleshly thing that you're just playing with or being involved with that's giving the enemy an inroad into your life, you don't want that. Close the gate by repentance. Hey, if you're here this morning and you're wore out, you're tired, you're wore out, He said, bring them burdens to Me. Bring your weariness to Me, and I'll refresh you. I'll give you rest. I'll help you. I'm your helper, but you come and lay this before the Lord. Lay it at His feet and allow the Lord to enrich you, energize you, and enrich you from the inside out. That's what He loves to do. And I want to tell you, these precious people up here praying will agree with you and take authority of whatever area the enemy has stolen. They will take authority. These are spiritual weapons, spiritual warfare. And you know what? The first part is you saying yes to the Lord in your heart. And then let us pray with you. We'll pray and take authority over those areas, because that's what Jesus told us to do. And you know what? He does the work. And so you come, let the Lord be the Lord. And then you ask the Lord, teach me how to walk in victory. If you're serious about that, He'll show you the treasures on how to make it happen. He'll show you and order your steps in a way of victory. That's what He's promised. And so let's let God be God this morning, and let's practice it. Not just today, but as a way of life. What the Lord promised, He'll bring to pass. No pastor here can bring it to pass in your life, but Jesus will. Will you let Him? See, this is the time right now. If you haven't given your heart to Christ, you come up here and tell one of these people, I need Jesus, they'll help you. You can be changed from the inside out today. And your journey can start today, a journey of victory, hope in life, abundant life, that the Lord has for you. We're praying for you right now. Why don't you go ahead and come for prayer and ministry. We'll take a few moments. Father, in Jesus' name, we declare that Your word, Lord, we agree with Your word for victory. We agree with Your love life for restoration. We agree with that You have given us the Spirit for us to overcome, that You've set us free to overcome. And so, Lord, we claim overcomers. We claim victors. We claim healing. We claim restoration. We claim renewal. Lord, everything that the enemy has stolen, we claim back multifold the abundant life of Jesus in His precious name for His honor and glory. So be it, Lord, here in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen.